Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network for this Thursday, January the 3rd. We appreciate you listening to American Family Radio, and thanks for joining us for this particular program. I'm Tim Wildman, as I said, and the announcer told you, so you've got my name three times now in the last minute. Maybe I have an ego problem. I don't know. Ed Vitagliano joins me. Walker and Wildman joins me. Chris Woodward joins me. Yep. So I have three guys here.
Nobody here thinks you have an ego problem.
Really?
You're just making sure that the listener
understands
the situation.
Who's the captain of this ship?
That's exactly right.
Huh?
When I was on yesterday,
yes.
I said Tim Wildman will be back in the captain's chair tomorrow.
Right. Tomorrow, and here I am.
And here you are.
So I take full responsibility for this program unless it goes awry.
And then that's why you have employees.
Kind of like President Trump in the stock market.
Yeah, yeah, right. It's up. It's all on me. It's bad. It's all on somebody else.
Yeah.
All right. So good to have you with us today. Thanks for listening, folks, to AFR. We don't take our listeners for granted. Well, I was out yesterday traveling back from Tampa, Florida. Allison, my wife, and a couple of my kids and their families. Walker couldn't go, but we went. We just had a wild notion last week to go down to watch my alma mater, Mississippi State, play in the Outback Bowl game. It isn't often that our university goes to a Florida New Year's Day bowl game.
Yeah,
right.
So who knows when we'll get back there again? So we decided to drive down. That's about 10 hours one way. So
what was the weather like?
The weather in Tampa, Florida was beautiful. It was like 82 degrees at kickoff. It was like
you sent a picture. A photo around, and I looked at the blue skies. Well, here
where our flagship
station is, rain.
It's all it did in December. Oregon.
It's the southern Seattle.
Yeah. Depressing.
We have had rain all across the southeast for like 2 months now.
Yeah.
So, but anyway. But
that's the kind of thing you do that, and you're just going to remember that the rest of your life.
I know. It was a wonderful trip as far as, fun and everything. Lost the ball game. Played the University of Iowa Hawkeyes.
Yep.
And so all their fans, they had a lot of fans there donned in their yellow and black.
Yeah.
And nice people. Still wish we would have beat the tar out of them, but we didn't.
didn't even beat them,
much less the tar.
And we still thank Iowa for bacon.
Yes, we do. Yeah. It wouldn't have mattered whether we won or lost.
That's
right. They still deserve congratulations for that. Anyway, it's the pageantry of college football. I watch NFL here and there, and certainly I'm a Dak Prescott fan.
Right.
And so Dallas Cowboys, I watch them, but college football is hard to beat when it comes to the color,
right,
the pageantry, the passion and everything. It's just a lot of fun.
It is. It's fun.
It's fun.
It's a fun sport.
The bands.
Yeah.
The bands, so Iowa had their
band. The mascots.
Iowa had their band there, and
did the Hawkeye try to stomp on Bully?
I think it was a friendly game.
Friendly meeting.
Mm. Friendly game. But anyway, it's one of those games, if you didn't watch it, of course, I know most people don't care about teams that aren't in their fans of.
Right.
But Mississippi State lost the game basically because a – ball hit our receiver in the hands and in the end zone and bobbled out and right into the hands of the Hawkeye defender.
Yeah.
Who ran like 30 yards back up the field. It was like one of those plays you look at and you say, we're looking at each other, Wesley and I, my son, we go, did that just happen? That really didn't just happen.
And you're looking around with that final moment of hope for a flag.
Right, right.
Says, please, no reverse
flag.
This. Please reverse
no
this.
Flag. No. Yes, Wesley, our wide receiver just did bobble the ball all alone in the end zone. Felt bad for the guy, our player who did that. I always feel bad for players who
– I took up for him on Twitter.
I always feel bad for players who make mistakes.
Field goal kicker who misses the last
That really
cost
their team the game. That's when – I know my son Wesley, I mentioned here before, Wesley, Walker's brother, he was playing high school game, and they were in the playoffs, like the second or third round of the playoffs, and he was the quarterback for the team. And and they went into the third overtime against – no, it wasn't the playoffs. Excuse me. It was the regular season, but it was one of their rival opponents.
Yeah.
And they went into the third overtime of this high school football game, and Wesley's the quarterback, and the other team scores. So Wesley's team gets an opportunity. Again, he's the quarterback. Mm-hmm. So they need to score to go into a fourth overtime. And he had such a great game, and he fumbles the snap. He fumbles the snap. The other team recovers the ball, and, they're
– Game over.
The game over. And he's just like, I fumbled the snap, really, after a great – it comes down to fumbling. It's kind of like, how many lessons can we learn here?
Yeah.
The simplest of things can go awry. Mm-hmm. And then you got – I always look at it like this. Somebody's – my kid may have done great and hit the home run, but somebody's the parent of the pitcher who just lost the game.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
It's the complete opposite of the thing that every kid dreams of.
Yes, right. That's what I think about when I think – so when I see a kid like Mississippi State's receiver drop the ball, I'm going, that's somebody's son, and they feel terrible, and I'm sure he feels terrible. He didn't say, hey, I'm going to drop this ball
right
here. And so the whole world can see this play. Anyway – college football's got one more game left. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm shocked. Alabama's there again.
Yes.
Huh?
Well, I've already.
Who'd have thunk it, Ed? Yeah.
I already yesterday apologized to our Alabama listeners.
Did you?
When I said I'm rooting for Clemson.
Well, Clemson's been there like three or four
times. Yeah, that's true.
Why don't they just skip the whole season next year and go straight to Clemson, Alabama?
Right.
Good night. I know Clemson, Alabama fans love it, but for the rest of us, we're waiting for somebody new.
Yes. That's right.
Okay? Begin the year like Daytona, where you do the big game first, and then the rest of it's just filler.
Okay, we've seen Dale Earnhardt do this, We want to see somebody else do it for a change.
How many mornings in a row can you eat Apple Jacks?
Oh, my word.
You know what I mean? I mean, this is just the same cereal over and over and over again?
I tell you what's going to be hard to deal with. There are going to be a lot of psychologists who are going to make a lot of money in the state of Alabama when Nick Saban retires.
Oh, wow.
And they don't win the national championship every year. I know they won a lot with Bear Bryant.
What coach wants to?
But let me tell you something.
It's going to be Dabo.
There's some 5 to 17 year. There's some 5-year-olds, 7-year-olds who started rooting for recognizing they were an Alabama fan.
Yeah.
Right.
And all they've known.
And they're 17 now, and 18, and all they've ever known is national championships.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to come a day.
Yeah.
This will preach right here.
Yeah.
Huh? It's like Adrian Rogers. There's going to come a day.
Right.
Alabama faithful, when you don't win the national championship every year.
Yeah.
And there's going to be somebody.
When you're downright mediocre.
Right. Somebody's going to have to explain to those 22-year-olds.
And the question is, how are you going to handle it?
That's good, Walker. That's point number two of my message right there.
When trials come.
One more point. You got to sermon.
Anyway, and Alabama fans, I know that day will come, but it ain't come yet.
No, not for the foreseeable future.
All right, folks, hope you had a great break. As I said, thank you for listening to AFR. Lots to talk about going on in the world today. Chris Woodward is filling in for Fred Jackson. Fred's away. His mom passed, and Fred had to go back to Canada to take care of that situation with his family and attend his mom's service. So anyway, Chris, you're up, brother.
All right. Well, the partial government shutdown, day 13, probably headed for day 14. It doesn't look like President Trump, Republicans, and Democrats are going to reach agreement anytime soon on the border wall. President Trump, of course, as we've talked about for days now, wants the $5.6 billion.
I haven't talked about it for days. I haven't been here. So.
Everybody as a group, the team.
I give me some partial government shutdown talk, and I can go with that.
All right. Well, most of the people on this program have talked about and heard from President Trump saying he wants the $5.6 billion to build the wall, finish building the wall. Nancy Pelosi, of course, has said in recent days, even weeks, really, that the border wall is immoral. And I want to begin with clip 7, because President Trump talked about Nancy Pelosi and others calling the wall immoral. This is what the president told reporters yesterday. Clip 7.
When they say the wall's immoral, well, then you got to do something about the Vatican, because the Vatican has the biggest wall of them all. The wall is immoral. Look at all of the countries that have walls. and they work 100%. It's never going to change. A wall is a wall.
Now that, I think, speaks volumes for two reasons. Nancy Pelosi is Roman Catholic. She's also pro-abortion. So if you want to talk about things being immoral, don't be a pro-abort. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. But what do you guys think there about? Is that a good example to bring up that the Vatican, who people look to, has a wall?
Yeah. Hey, Walker, before we answer that question, a good question by Chris to get us started here. Tell our listeners how they can engage with the program today.
Yeah, you can do a couple things. On social media, we're on Facebook and YouTube, live streaming on both of those places. So you pick Facebook or YouTube.
Type in what?
Today's Issues. Type in the show name, Today's Issues, and you can find our Facebook page or our YouTube channel. Lastly, you can go to our website, AFR.net. There you can listen to the live stream, and you can download the app there also. AFR.
And I want to wave to my wife. She said she texted me, said that she
awesome.
Watching on Facebook
watching
or YouTube?
Watching on Facebook.
Good.
Hello.
Got a lot of Facebook viewers.
Yeah. Hello, Diane. How you doing? All right. So, Ed, tell us your thoughts on...
Well, I think it's absolutely a great argument. The fact of the matter is, this is a struggle between those who, in my opinion, are open borders people. For all practical purposes, you're not going to get a lot of Democrats to say, yeah, we just want to let anyone and everyone in. They're going to say, no, of course not. But for all practical purposes, their policies are open borders. And so that's where the catch and release and all those kinds of things that they're always pushing. So I think that that's the struggle you see. I don't think anybody in their right mind doesn't believe that a wall can be very effective. I don't know if it's 100%, like the president said. Mm-hmm. He's prone to hyperbole often. But obviously, listen, this is a question I ask people. I lock my door at night. I lock my door at night, not because I've been robbed before, but because it's prudent to prevent me from being robbed in the future. So I lock my door. A barrier works, is what I'm saying. And if you're worried about potential terrorists coming across the border, drug dealers, other criminals, then a wall will help. And because other policies regarding immigration in this country are broken, in terms of employers using E-Verify, for example, you've got to have that wall to start off with before you can fix anything else about the
Walker, what do you think Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer keep using the word immoral to describe a border wall? What do they mean by that?
Well, and they have their own worldview, the Democrats do, and in their worldview, which is made up by themselves, they set the rules. In their worldview, it's immoral because they think that we should virtually let everyone who wants to come in our country come in our country, whether it be through a port of entry or whether they're walking through the desert between Texas and Mexico. So in their view, they may actually believe in their heart that it is immoral to have a physical wall blocking people from walking into our country. But I don't think that resonates with the large majority of Americans because everybody understands the concept of physical barriers. We have them everywhere. Washington is full of physical barriers, keeping cars from driving in onto Capitol Hill. So physical barriers work. And Israel, 99.9%, it stopped illegal immigration. Other countries, it's up in 70-80% success rate when it comes to physical walls. So they do work. The question is, how long is this going to go? But I think President Trump has to keep this going. He can't give in because if you give in, you're agreeing with the open borders Democrats.
Yeah, and to Ed's point about the Democrats being for all open borders for all practical purposes, again, they won't say it like that. But when you call a wall immoral, you're saying to prevent anyone from coming here who wants to come here is an act that is immoral. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
So because they voted for fencing before.
Yes.
The Democrats have. Chuck Schumer has. Nancy Pelosi has, I assume, back in 2000.
Barack Obama.
Obama
as
did.
A senator.
Yes. Yeah.
So they voted for physical barriers being put up in the past. They've changed. Now it's immoral to do so.
You think their change is at least in part because this is Donald Trump? And they don't want him to.
Two reasons. Yes. Promise. Yes. Yes. The Democrats, as someone said this morning on AFR, I forgot who it was, but maybe on Sandy's show, basically anything Donald Trump's for, they're against. And if he's against it, they're for it. 99% of the time. So that's what's driving this is, but number two is, as we mentioned here before, the Democrats are for open borders so they can take over the country eventually with voters.
Amnesty.
With amnesty. Amnesty for all those who come here illegally. And then they are then locked in to vote for Democrats forever. In the same way the African-American community pledged loyalty to the Democrats in the 60s for the
right
welfare programs. And you see Democrats vote African-Americans vote Democrat 85-90%.
Yeah.
And still do even today. Maybe 80%. I think Trump got 15 or 20, didn't he?
Yeah, he was historically high African-American turnout for Trump.
Yeah. So what the Democrats are hoping for is that they get that same kind of loyalty after they get amnesty, after they grant amnesty to all the people here who are illegally from Mexico and Central America. Then it just overwhelms the Republican Party. And then your choices are between, you know, as I said before, a far left Democrat and a far, far, far left Democrat. That'll
right.
be your, that's what they're hoping for.
Yeah.
We're not there yet, but that's what they're hoping for.
A physical
for.
Barrier would be a huge victory, not just for, this isn't about Trump and his political campaign. This is about securing America. If you can get a physical barrier,
yes.
then you can stop. It would stop the people before they get here. First, it would discourage people from coming in the first place.
Right.
Secondly, when they get there and they're looking up at a 30-foot wall and people can say they don't work, yes, they do work.
Yes, they do work.
Statistically, even on the U.S. border, where there's been physical barriers, whether you want to call it a fence
right.
or a wall, mm-hmm. the illegal immigration in those areas has decreased like 60, 70, 80%. And everybody down there knows it. So, but what I was getting at is the problem right now with our immigration is not that we have no physical barriers in a lot of the places, but when they get here, they don't get sent back.
Right.
They get apprehended for a day or two, and then they're released into the streets of El Paso or wherever.
Yeah.
And then they never show up again. So they're de facto coming into our country. They're just walking in with the.
Yeah. This is a situation. It's a President Trump versus the Democrats here. Or you could say Republicans versus the Democrats, but definitely is President Trump versus the Democrats, Schumer and Pelosi, and who's going to win this standoff? I don't know. But I really don't know who's going to. I don't think the Democrats, Schumer and Pelosi, are eager to reach any kind of a quote compromise with the president on
right.
this because they view this as a political win. That is, the onus is on the president to get the problem solved, right? That is to stop the government, partial government mm-hmm. shutdown. So I think they have the advantage here. Against the president, and I don't know. The president also, his backers, those who supported the president over building a wall and border security, they're looking at him saying, "This is your time, man."
Yeah,
and you can't give in to Pelosi and Schumer.
Well, Senator Lindsey Graham just said recently that if the president caves on this now, he won't get reelected. I think that's true.
He'll be mocked by establishment Republicans like Mitt Romney mm-hmm. and the Democrats who will say you promise this, you promise that, and you don't get it.
Yeah,
I guess one aspect of this I really don't understand. I have to go back and look at what was happening at the time. I don't understand why the president and the Republicans didn't do this earlier when the Republicans had the House, had the Senate. And, well, they still have the House. Till what, today?
Today they lose it.
Okay, well, today. But anyway, you get my, I don't know why they didn't do this earlier. That is, Stan,
here's
go ahead.
One reason is that, and this is widely reported, Republicans, when President Trump at least signaled that he was willing to do something like this in past government funding bills, the Republican leadership always went to the White House. And from what I understand, they basically talked President Trump out of shutting the government down.
We'll do it next time.
Yeah, and even McConnell has publicly said, I don't like shutting the government down. I think it's a bad idea. So
for any reason.
So they continually told President Trump, look, do it next time. We'll fight next time.
Okay.
Well, Well, November or October came around of 2018, right before the midterms, and there was these funding bills up. Well, Republicans went to the White House, Mitch McConnell, Paul Ryan, and they said, let's just get through the midterms, and then we'll fight for your wall.
Right. Yeah.
Well, guess what happened? Midterms passed, December came, funding bills came up, and Republicans once again tried, let's just wait till after the new Congress in January, and we'll fight for your wall. I think President Trump finally said, no, now's the time to do it.
Well, also, I don't know. I don't have any inside information into the White House. I'm not so sure that President Trump wasn't willing to do that again. That is to say, we'll talk about this later.
Yeah.
But when he, y'all know what I'm talking about?
Somebody talked to him.
Somebody, well, Rush Limbaugh and Ann Coulter and some of the voices
Hannity
on Fox News and some of our folks here on AFR began to raise Cain and say, wait a minute, if you're not going to do this now, you're never going to do it. And so, I mean, in a sense, to use a religious comparison politically, the people had to hold President Trump's arms up. You know what I'm saying on this one? Now, I'm not saying the president didn't want to do this, but I think he was wanting to know, what should I do? Should I allow the government to shut down and get all the blame? He may not say this publicly, but then he came on and had the press conference with Schumer and Pelosi and goes, hey, lay it on me. I'm glad to take government shutdown for border security.
Well, now he's painted himself into a corner, so to speak, where he has to. I think politically,
his whole future's on the line.
He has to. And listen, I place some of the blame on Mitch McConnell and the Senate leadership, who, for whatever strange and bizarre reason, have refused to get rid of the filibuster.
Yeah.
And because when they did, to your point, Tim, when they had the House and the Senate, and obviously President Trump in the White House, all the Senate had to do is say, on this critical national security issue, we are going to get rid of the filibuster, and we're going to vote this is straight up, and they would have gotten all the funding that they wanted. That,
exactly.
To me, that
simple
was the
majority.
That was the simple majority. That was the easiest way to solve this. But I'll say the reason that the Senate leadership may not have done that is because I don't know how much they want a wall.
Yeah.
I think some of them,
Republican leaders in the Senate.
In the Senate, I think there are probably a fair number of Republican leaders in the Senate and in the House too, but especially in the Senate, who are queasy about the idea of a wall.
Yes.
Right.
And they didn't want to fight for it.
Yeah. The argument that we've heard from senators about the filibuster, and maybe we've even played sound bites from them on this show, is this. Their concern, supposedly, is that if Republicans do it, Democrats will do it to them whenever it is they have control of the Senate. But the short answer to that is this. Don't lose elections. And it gets back to what I said yesterday about Romney. Republicans, too often to count these days, run not to lose versus run to win. Mm-hmm. Democrats, they hate each other's guts, but they'll come together and hug and smile and kiss babies.
Right.
And get their people in office, whereas Republicans, and then we never get Obamacare repealed, and they think tax cuts is going to be enough to satisfy everybody, and it's not.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Other than what we discussed here, I think everything's good with the world.
Yes.
Don't you, Ed?
Oh, yeah.
You feeling good about 2019?
Good. Yes.
Okay, Ed's laughing.
Only 356 more days till Christmas.
All right.
Black Friday starts tomorrow.
Walker, is the stock market up or down at this moment?
It's down right now.
Really?
It's down 500 this morning. It always comes back up.
In the immortal words of Tim Wildman, stocks go up and stocks go down.
And the world turns round and round.
Right.
That's almost...
That was pretty good right there.
Yeah, you might create a rap song with that, Ed. I don't know. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us, everybody.
Trivia Friday.
Star Trek question. What powers
The impulse drive.
Dilithium crystals?
My second cousin twice removed was on dilithium crystals. And every time when everybody's sitting around trying to have some peace and quiet, his arm would fly up in the air. You didn't know if he was trying to salute you or get somebody's attention.
Trivia Friday, 10 a.m. Central.
And two different times when he tried to say something, the garage door went up and down.
On American Family Radio.
Random.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. 2019 is upon us, and we're going to be going back to Washington, D.C. and to Williamsburg for our spiritual heritage tours. And if you've been wanting to go, maybe this is the year for you. These tours fill up several months in advance. And one of the reasons they do is because we have an actual historian, a professional historian that comes on our tour with us. His name is Stephen McDowell. He's the president of the Providence Foundation, and he knows more about early American history, especially the Christian influence on early American history. He knows more than anybody I know. So, if you want to go with us, you can find out more information at spiritualheritagetours.com. That's in June and September. Pick the month you want to go. Find out more information at spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Stearns from Fox News, and one of the things I love about Liberty University is the broad vision they have for their students. Instead of simply preparing them for a career, Liberty helps students grow into mature men and women of character, striving to impact their career fields for Christ. Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 550 programs of study. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. Again, that's liberty.edu. When President Trump was campaigning for office, he met with families of Americans killed by illegal aliens. I believe those meetings had a profound impact on the president. He saw firsthand the pain and anguish, all caused in large measure because of politicians who have kicked the can down the road, unwilling to address border security, unwilling to fix our broken immigration system. That's why the president is taking such a hard-line approach to border wall funding. Just the other day, a 22-year-old Knoxville man was killed in a car crash, the other driver, an illegal. In Newman, California, they are still mourning the death of a police officer gunned down by an illegal twice deported. So it's not a trivial question when we wonder how many more Americans must lose their lives at the hands of an illegal. It's time to fix the problem, America. We've come to the end of the road. I'm Todd Stearns.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. AFR.net is our place on the internet, AFR.net. You can watch this show on Facebook or YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues and join us with our in studio here as our cameras are capturing this excitement that is Ed and Walker perusing the internet as I talk. You guys even know what I'm talking about here?
I got to admit that I was looking at something on it. It was very important.
Stock market up or down, Ed, right now?
I don't know.
Down 578 points.
What does that mean?
People are losing money.
Doesn't mean anything to me.
You're not in it.
Because my money's sitting there. The money I have in my 401k, I'm not.
It's not moving up or down.
I'm not advocating one way or another for stock market. I'm just saying mine doesn't move much one way or the other because
low risk.
I've already seen that happen. Mm-hmm. Already seen that movie twice.
You've already seen your 401k become a 201k.
Yes. You remember that?
Yeah, back in 2008.
Yeah, yeah. People I felt sorry for were the ones who were like 4 or 5 years away from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they weren't exactly just. Their 401k wasn't exactly just, sitting there. So they like said, well, there goes, I'm going to have to stay at work 3 more years now.
The stock market is the kind of thing where they say, well, we had this big drop, but in 10 years, it'll be right back to where it was. Well, you're talking about people who were getting ready to retire.
Right.
I don't have 10 years.
Right, 10 years, okay. Anyway, but the people remember 08. It did go.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Cut it in half, yeah. People's 401ks and such. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. If you want to send us an email, here's the address, comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. This is where you better be careful about taking credit for the stock market, which the president did a few months ago. Now it's down. You know, do you also take blame? No, you don't.
No.
You deflect.
That's why President Obama said his the economy under his administration was the fault of George Bush. And then when the economy was on fire under Donald Trump, he said, well, you didn't do that, Donald Trump. Yeah, that's because of my policy.
Yes, the last 2 years.
I wonder if President Obama today will have a press conference say, you know, I want to take the blame for the stock market going down.
Right.
Because
everybody plays the same game.
Yeah, so, they do, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always say presidents, in my view, presidents are like quarterbacks. They get too much credit and they get too much blame.
Yeah.
For almost everything, but certainly the economy. Now, the economy is still doing pretty well, as I understand it. It's just the stock market is not doing so well today. But, hey, a month from now, we could be going, look at this soaring stock market. It's back, isn't it?
Look at President Obama's stock market.
Right, exactly. All right, Chris Woodward, what's next on the agenda?
Well, if you were wondering where new Senator Mitt Romney of Utah would be on the border wall.
And boy was I.
He did tell Jake Tapper last night on CNN that he would be in favor of the border wall. Now, Romney was on there because Romney wrote a very scathing, blistering, I've heard other adjectives used, op-ed against President Trump, saying he hasn't risen to the mantle yet of the presidency. He doesn't like his language, his tone, his body language, actions, all that stuff. Mitt Romney basically thinks he would do a better job.
Now, Mitt Romney, just for those who don't know, everybody's familiar with him. Mm-hmm. He is the new senator from Utah, right, via Boston.
Right, he did, yeah.
Okay, huh?
He did, yeah.
Where he was governor of Massachusetts. Yeah.
Republicans point that out when their person's not from that area, but nobody raises a snake about that in Utah.
Did he move to Utah? Or he has two homes. I know he's Mormon.
He's got more than two homes.
Yeah, he's got some kind of presence
there. Okay, I don't know. But anyway, he's from Utah now. He's a new senator there, and he and President Trump have never.
You didn't like it when Hillary Clinton did this, moving to New York. And you don't like it when Mitt Romney does it.
Hillary Clinton was from Illinois, and then she was from Arkansas, and then she was from New York. Ran as a senator from New York, never lived in New York.
Right.
And New Yorkers voted her in.
Yeah.
I mean, it was amazing. But anyway, Mitt Romney, the new senator from Utah.
Yeah.
So he went to the White House to meet with President Trump, right?
He did. Early on, I think maybe in the transition period, because some people were speculating that maybe Trump wanted to offer him some sort of cabinet position. Obviously, Romney said no, because he never got nominated for it. But
There was some talk about him maybe being Secretary of State, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. That was early on before Tillerson.
Yeah,
early on. So anyway, what's his beef now with the president?
Well, he doesn't think President Trump is very presidential. So now we're having back and forths between Donald Trump and new Senator Mitt Romney saying this and that about one thing or the other. I've got a montage here. This is clip three. These are things President Trump and Mitt Romney have said about each other in recent days, weeks, and even months.
It's my honor, real honor, and privilege to endorse Mitt Romney.
Donald Trump has shown an extraordinary ability to understand how our economy works.
He was begging for my endorsement. I could have said, Mitt, drop to your knees. He would have dropped to his knees.
Donald Trump lacks the temperament to be president.
Mitt Romney choked, pure and simple. He choked. He choked like a dog.
The policies he's promoted have been pretty effective, and I support a lot of those policies.
I wish Mitt could be more of a team player.
I'll work with the president as I would, frankly, with any president, which is on those areas where I'm in agreement. We'll be able to work together. Where I disagree, I'll point that out.
Now, that brings into question why you have said this in a day where we can easily find things on YouTube and other internet sites, record it and play it on great shows like this on the radio or television or whatever. And then you come out with an op-ed in the Washington Post blasting the guy that you're going to be trying to help steer the country in the right direction.
What purpose does it serve?
Right.
Wow. Listen, did you put that montage together?
I did not. That aired this morning on Sandy Rice in the Morning. That would be credit I guess Adam Seth and some other folks.
That's pretty out. That's pretty amazing to hear those kinds of things. But that's, to me, that's politics. Yeah. Politics are, you know, where they say politics makes strange bedfellows. Mm-hmm. You know, we will pretend to agree, and because we need each other right now. And then if you turn on me, this is like a good mob movie. we're going to get Clemenza in here to help whack this guy, and then if he gets out of line, we're going
to
whack
to the mattresses.
Yeah. Yes,
but you know, I think this is why. I think one reason that President Trump's base, his core voters, are so tired of this is because tired of this. Everybody going after Trump, even Republicans, is because we all know that President Trump is not perfect. Some of the things he does and says are unpresidential. Historically unpresidential, according to, you know, tradition and everything else. But is that going to fix, is that the problem with our country, is that Trump likes to tweet too much? No. The problem with our country is we have open borders, we're spending billions on other countries to build them up, our own roads and bridges are dumps because we're wasting tax dollars and there's so much corruption. Hillary Clinton gets to do felonies and she gets off the hook. So there's all these problems with our country. And you want me to worry about President Trump sending
one tweet? That's a really good point.
No. People are worried about about their salaries. Mm-hmm. They're worried about the illegal immigrants. Is MS-13 going to kill my son in the Bronx when he walks to school? That's what people care about. So, you know, but Mitt Romney's focused. We got to correct Donald Trump. Donald Trump's not the problem.
I am convinced that that President Trump would not react. He's a reactionary person.
Yes.
Okay. And that's not typically how presidents operate.
At least not publicly.
Publicly. Right. A lot of what President Trump does and says is typically done behind the scenes. You know, you talk about somebody and then you go out front and you.
Right.
Now, so President Trump basically wears his feelings on his sleeve, for better or for worse. And I think his tweets reflect that. But, so we've never seen anything quite like this before. So I think it's shocking to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But I will say this. I don't think that President Trump would be as reactionary as he is in what some people perceive as a unpresidential or negative way had he not been attacked from absolutely day one, 24/7. From all directions.
Vicious.
The guy never had a chance to even name his cabinet before the whole world, who was against him running, began to try to subvert his presidency.
Even the administration, people leaking phone calls.
Deep state.
Deep
state, the media,
that
the Democrats.
That put anybody in a bad mood,
the GOP establishment, the New World Order, the European leaders, China, everybody was now. Did he? And President Trump doesn't back down from a fight, at least not typically. Maybe sometimes he does, but rarely. And so he started pushing back and fighting back. And sometimes when you do that, you make mistakes. You go over the top with some of the things that you say and do. But I'm just saying that because he was. Unlike any other president in history, attacked so viciously from the get-go. I mean, they had the National Mall full of the resistance people. Remember Madonna saying, I've thought many times about blowing up the White House?
Right.
Remember that?
Yep.
That was the day after the inauguration.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's how this all going.
So if the guy's a little defensive,
well,
let's give him the benefit of the
doubt. Right.
That's
why. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Chris Woodward, Ed Vitagliano, and Walker Wildman. Dr. Alex McFarland will be joining us momentarily. Hey, maybe you heard the announcement a few minutes ago, but we are already taking sign-ups, registrations for our tours this year to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, and then a separate tour to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. We go in June and we go in September, and we do these tours back to back, that is Williamsburg and Washington, in case you want to do both of them, because some people fly from California to be with us. Well, they want to do both while they're there, right? So if you'd like to have all the information on the spiritual heritage tours of our nation's capital, again, also a visit to George Washington's Mount Vernon Estate, Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, just go to our website and read all about it. It's spiritualheritagetours.com. Spiritualheritagetours.com. I was looking at somebody else's tour, same type thing, the other day, and they were like three times as much as what we were charging for this tour. So I think you get a good value monetarily. Check it out, spiritualheritagetours.com. We'd love to have you this year, a vacation with a purpose. Well, joining us now is Dr. Alex McFarland. He's the co-host of Exploring the Word each afternoon here, weekday afternoon on American Family Radio with Brother Bert Harper. Alex and Bert do the Exploring the Word live Bible study each day, each afternoon from 3:05 to 4 o'clock Central Time here on AFR. Alex, good morning to you.
Well, Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year to you. Do you make New Year's resolutions, Alex?
You know, Angie and I, every January 1st, we try to begin the day with devotions and prayer, and we pray about things we feel God's calling us to do regarding our ministry and giving. So it's not resolutions necessarily, but we do try to begin the year with the Lord every January 1st.
Well, that's a very spiritual answer, Alex.
Yeah.
I'm talking about losing weight, man.
I make that resolution
about
every Monday morning.
I'm talking about making good investments here. Okay, I'm talking about some carnal things here. No, I'm just kidding. You know, my wife, Allison, and I have mentioned this before. We're not reading in the traditional sense. We're listening out through the Bible.
Yeah.
Anyway,
faith come by hearing.
That's right. Amen, Chris.
Well, listen. Let me just make if you have a conscience issue here, that for centuries and centuries, most of God's people did not have a copy of Word.
True.
They listened to it.
That's true.
So that's what you're doing. So
that's what we're doing.
Absolutely no problem. So you're listening to an app, which is a very good app.
Yeah, exactly. The Bible. We don't make anything off this. I don't even know these people, but it's an excellent app. I'll tell you what it is. It's called Bible.is, Bible.is, and it's basically it's the scripture in a drama form.
Right. But it's the entire scripture.
The entire scripture. Anyway, we're in 2 Kings, I guess. Yeah, 2 Kings. I've tried the year through the Bible before, three or four different times, and I failed. Mm-hmm. Okay. Am I the only one?
You got stuck in Leviticus or something?
I don't know. Happens is, Alex, this is why I want you to encourage. What I'm trying to say is just read the Bible, folks, or listen to the Bible every day. You don't have to feel like you have to. I know that really helps people a year through the Bible. But if you get into February, 22nd,
Yeah,
and then you get down in your back, and you can't. You know what I'm saying?
Then people give up.
Yeah. Next thing, you give up and you quit, and you just say, "Oh, what's the use? I can't keep up."
I'm 3 days behind. That's 12 chapters. That's not going to happen.
So I would just say, I'm sure Alex, you would just say, whether you read a chapter a day or three chapters a day, the important thing is you be consistently studying the Word of God.
Amen. Amen. You know, Bert and I, we had a pretty long meeting yesterday. We're planning our spring, and we're on our second time through the Bible on Exploring the Word, verse by verse, every verse of the Bible, and we're on our second trip through. We're in the book of Joshua now, and we thought Joshua would be a good book to start the new year with, but if you start reading your Bible and things happen and you miss a day or two or something, don't beat yourself up over it. But, sometimes I've done this. I read the book of Proverbs like one chapter a day, 31 chapters. And Proverbs is God's book of wisdom. And in 1 month, you can read through that. And boy, that's really great. Yeah. And the Gospel of John is just 21 chapters. You can read that in 3 weeks,
Now, let me ask you this, Alex, about reading the Bible. You know, as you read through, again, the Old Testament, not all of it, but a lot of the Old Testament is I guess, a historical account of the Hebrews, right?
Mm-hmm.
The children of Israel. And why is that? Don't misunderstand me, folks. I'm not asking this. I'm asking this as a question a lot of people would ask. I know Andy Stanley, you know, he mentioned a couple of months ago that the Bible, the Christians should not be tethered to the Old Testament, basically is what he was saying. I don't know exactly what all he meant by that. I thought it was an inappropriate comment for a pastor to make. The Bible is the Word of God. Either you just take out, if you don't like it, Andy, just take out the Old Testament and just study the New Testament, okay? But I'm not saying he's not a brother. I'm just saying, you know, I'm just saying I thought that was an inappropriate comment to say about the Old Testament. But I do have to ask you, Alex, what value is it spiritually for me to read about every three or four chapters about 10,000 men dying?
Well, great question. And I would encourage people, you know, even though we're Christians of the New Covenant, don't leave out the Old Testament, because for a number of reasons. One, the Old Testament tells us who God is, tells us what his redemptive plan is for the world, and tells us about the coming of Jesus. You know, Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for they testify of me," in John 5. And, you know, in John 14, Philip said to Nathanael, "We have found him of whom Moses, the law, and the prophets wrote." So Moses, the law, and all the prophets were pointing toward Jesus. And, you know, I think there's so many key teachings of the Christian faith, not only God and salvation, but the calling out of Abraham, the nation of Israel, the judgment of the flood of Noah, you know, the building of the temple under Solomon. There's just so much about world history, reality, not to mention the gospel, that we couldn't really know apart from the Old Testament.
Let me ask you this, Ed. You haven't studied the Scriptures. So, I mean, you went to Bible college, right?
Yes.
So I want to ask you, it was kind of what I'm asking Alex there, but to me, I guess I'm going to ask you a question, then I'll answer it, which is what people do, right?
Sure.
When they really don't want to hear what you have to say, they want to answer it themselves, and that's what I'm doing right here. So, but I will ask you.
What do you want me to do?
Okay. Well, here you go. You ready?
Okay, yeah, I'm ready.
All right. Here's the thing. I think one big reason why you read the Old Testament and study the Old Testament is when you compare that to the New Testament, you get a great appreciation for the New Covenant. Mm-hmm. As Alex is talking about, because the Old Covenant was with Israel, the children, the Hebrews, the Jews, right? The Israelites, right?
Right.
And so you study that, and then you go, two things stand out to me. One is, you go to the New Testament, then it's Jesus Christ came for the sins of everybody, not just the Jews, but the Gentiles, the whole world, right? So the grace of God, or the relationship of God with mankind, is now open for all. The veil has been torn. Okay, so that's number one. And number two is, in the Old Testament, God whacked people.
Yes.
All the time.
He whacked people in the New Testament, too.
Yes, but not as many.
Not as many, right.
And he did it in a nice way.
Yes.
Right, a nicer way than the Old Testament, right? I'm just saying, in the Old Testament, you got out of line, God zapped you. I'd have been zapped many times as characters in the Old Testament. There was mercy and kindness, but God dealt harshly with those who were disobedient. In the New Testament, there is forgiveness and grace and mercy, and there's help through the Holy Spirit for you to live a consistent Christian life so that you don't have to be disobedient to the Lord. So,
all that you've said, all that Alex said, all these things are true. And I would add this additional thing as well. The Apostle Paul says, these things happened to the children of Israel as examples for us. Mm-hmm. So the things that happened to them, even though it's under the old covenant, we look at those things and we say, what is God like? And the holiness of God and the fear of God is taught much more clearly in the Old Testament. These things are also mentioned, the fear of the Lord, mentioned in the New Testament. But the Apostle Paul says these things happen as examples to us so that we should not be idolaters, we should not crave evil things. And so we read these things and we go, all right, God, what were you trying to say to the children of Israel at that time?
Yeah.
And what are you saying to me now, as you said, Tim, in light of the new covenant?
Mm-hmm.
So all these things are ways. I mean, I don't know what Andy Stanley was saying, but I love the Old Testament. And I love not being under the old covenant.
Yeah.
You know, Leviticus, but I love the especially. Old Testament because it's, in a sense, they are stories that show us things that the New Testament teaches us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Alex, any final comments on that? I thought Ed and I did really well on that one.
You did awesome. You did awesome. I would just encourage everybody, a great way to get into the Bible is to listen to Exploring the Word
there
with Bird and myself every day at 3 p.m. Central.
There you go.
No, in fact, Ed and I are going to take over that show, Bird, because we're really good.
You know, if you have a lot more confidence in yourself and myself.
That's one show that I'm glad Alex and Bert do.
Amen.
They take all comers and all questions related to the Bible. Alex, thanks for being on with us this morning. Look forward to this afternoon. What are you and Bert going to be talking about this afternoon?
Well, we're in Joshua chapter 2. Right. And hey, let me give a quick commercial. I'm going to be at the Cove March 22 through 24 doing Bible prophecy, Daniel and Revelation, March 22 through 24, my 11th visit to the Cove in Western North Carolina. And we always see a lot of great AFR friends when we go there, and so I sure would love to see everybody.
Okay,
this spring.
How do you find out more information about that?
Their website, I believe, is the Cove, C-O-V-E, thecove.org.
And they have the scheduled events there, and you're going to be there in March?
Yes, sir. And if you just go to the Cove and Google my name or Revelation Prophecy, you'll find it.
Okay, thank you, Alex.
Bless you guys. Thanks.
Thank you,
bye-bye.
Alex.
Dr. Alex McFarland joining us. Chris, we got about a couple minutes left. What do you got?
Well, one
stock market up or down, Chris?
Stock market is down, but it's not as bad as it was when we started our discussion with the numbers. I will say this, our Engage magazine ministry that we have here at AFA, we did something on Leviticus last year. I had an article, the headline being What to Do When Approaching Leviticus, and I interviewed Bert Harper of Exploring the Word for some insight on what people should do about Leviticus, because this time of year, everybody sets a goal, and oftentimes it's, I want to read my Bible more, and then they get to Leviticus, and it's like, you can't eat squirrel, and the questions start popping up, and things like that. So
squirrel, I thought it was shrimp.
Oh, it's all sorts of things. All sorts of things. You'll read it when you get to Leviticus.
I've been through Leviticus. I just don't remember the squirrel prohibition.
I'm just throwing examples out.
That wasn't an example, though, Chris.
I'm throwing out what may be a false example.
I think you got your squirrels and shrimp mixed up.
Right. I'm not even sure they have squirrels in the Middle East.
I'll look it up. You're right about shrimp. I can verify it's in there. Let me throw this out, just a consumer story. If you're planning on doing some shopping today, if you want to, if it's possible, you may want to wait till tomorrow. Apparently today is expected to be the second biggest day for Christmas or holiday returns, which means shoppers may face large crowds or issues when exchanging or bringing back those things they got for Christmas. Even UPS is expecting just a busy day today. So you might even have people showing up, knocking on your door at 8, 9 o'clock like we did a couple of weeks ago.
Just give me gift cards, okay?
Noted.
Nobody has to take gift cards back. Do you ever see anybody taking an Applebee's gift card back and saying, no.
No.
I need a Cracker Barrel instead.
And I got one over Christmas to the Squirrel Emporium.
There you go.
I can't wait to chow down there.
A gift
card? We are under the new covenant.
Yeah.
The Squirrel Emporium.
We're going to get some letters.
Oh, my.
I just made that up.
Restaurant called Emporium. That doesn't sound right. All right. Chris Woodward, thanks for your contributions to this program. Walker, Ed, and yours truly, we shall return with a report from the stock market.
Leviticus 11, 4 through 8.
Yes?
Chris, that may be what I'm thinking.
Tomorrow, Chris, tomorrow. We'll be back.
Trivia Friday.
We'll be back. we'll be back in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.